Well, good morning, everyone. Thank you very much to Emily for sharing that testimony with us this morning. And I want to just encourage us all as a church, it's so important that we continue to develop our young leaders and all people, as we've made leadership development a significant part of what we want to be doing here at Westwood Church. So as we see the leadership capabilities in people, we want to nurture that, we want to grow that. So thank you, Emily. For sharing our testimony, your testimony with us. And I encourage us all, how can we be building into the generation that comes behind us? This morning, before we get into our sermon, I wanted to make you aware of an opportunity. And that opportunity is really to bless those who are in need, especially in the area of food in Prince George. Many of us, God has been so faithful to many of us through this whole season. And we just want to bless those who maybe food is a significant need. And so we wanted to partner with the food bank here in Prince George. And so what we have done is Westwood Church, the elders have set aside $5,000 that they are going to put towards giving to the food bank. But what they want to do is they want to match that dollar for dollar. So for every dollar you give, up to $5,000, Westwood will match that dollar for dollar. Now, the incredible thing about this is this. The food bank has the opportunity to then have a matching program that they have. So if we as a church are able to give $5,000 and then we take the $5,000 that the elders have set aside to match that $5,000, we now have $10,000. And with the food bank able to match that $10,000, we have the opportunity to give $20,000. And anything that is given above and beyond the $5,000, we can't make that quadruple, but we can still make that double. So I just really want to encourage you, if God has blessed you in this season, would you consider showing the love of God to those in need by participating in this? You can do it simply. You can give online. You can do it by check. You can do it by Interact e-transfer. You can do it any of these ways. And just simply make note that it is for the food bank, and we'll make sure that it gets to the food bank. So really want to encourage you for that. There's going to be opportunity. That matching program lasts for 3 weeks starting today. So really encourage you to participate in that. So this morning, we are going into a new series called Who is Jesus to You? And it's based on the question that Jesus asked his disciples. He says, who do you say I am? He first of all asked them, like, who people say I am. And they say, oh, you know, some people say you're a prophet. And they give all these different answers of what the people say they are, that Jesus is. But then he says, well, who do you say I am? And Peter's response is, you are the Messiah. You're the Son of God. And so we want to wrestle with this question of who is Jesus to you? But we want to make it a little more concrete, not just who is Jesus, but what does that actually look like in our life? If we are to say, for example, that Jesus is our Lord, what does that look like? How do we actually live out Jesus being our Lord in our life? And so this morning, it's a three-part series. We're going to start this morning by asking this question. Do you love Jesus? Do you love Jesus? I mean, if you've grown up in the church, you're taught from as soon as you're old enough to be able to hear and understand in any capacity, you are taught that Jesus loves you and that you're to love Jesus. But what does it look like to love Jesus? What does that actually look like? And so I want you, as we go through this, I want you to take a look at your own life and just examine, in the way that I am living my life, do I demonstrate that I love Jesus? Okay, so I want you to think about that. And we're going to be hanging out primarily in John chapters 13 to 15, mostly in 14 and 15, and a little bit in 1 John. And we're going to wrestle with this question of, do you love Jesus? Okay? So the first question that inevitably that comes to mind when we ask the question is, do you love Jesus? Is, first of all, well, if I'm supposed to love Jesus, is Jesus worthy of my love? Like, if I'm going to love somebody, they need to be worthy of my love. So how does Jesus demonstrate to us that he is worthy of our love? Let's start there. Well, first of all, if we're to look in John chapter 13, Jesus demonstrates his love for the disciples by this servant-hearted, sacrificial type of love. And so we see the background for the passage we're going to read is Jesus, he actually washes the feet of his disciples. Now, why is this significant, washing his feet? Well, washing the feet of the disciples is significant because Jesus was considered their rabbi, their teacher, their leader. And washing the feet was only the job of the lowliest of servants because, think about it, they all wore sandals. They're all walking through the dirty, dusty streets that animals have, you know, done what animals do all over the street. And so feet are dirty, disgusting. And so it's the job of the servant, the lowest servant in a household, if you have guests over, to wash the feet. But Jesus, he lowers himself, he humbles himself, and actually says, you know what, I'm going to set an example of what this servant-hearted sacrificial love looks like. So I am actually going to wash your feet for you. And that's the backdrop we see. But Jesus is going to actually take it a step further, as we're going to see in the passage. If we were to keep reading past the passages we're going to examine today, we actually see that Jesus goes on to actually literally lay down his life for us, to go and to die on a cross, and he rises again and defeats death, but he actually goes and dies for us. He literally lays down his life for us. So is Jesus worthy of our love? Well, I would say someone that is willing to go to that kind of lengths to lay down their life for you and to do what is in your best interest is probably someone who's worthy of your love. But Jesus lays out another reason why we can love him, why we can, and he starts when he's trying to encourage the disciples, because he tells them he's going to go away, and they're kind of confused by this, a little bit sad about this, don't understand why they can't go with him. And Jesus reassures him by the idea that they can trust him. Chapter 14, he says this. He says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me." Now, the kind of trust Jesus is talking about is being able to put your full confidence in somebody, to know that they are so trustworthy that you can put your confidence in them. So he's saying, hey, you can trust, just like you trust in God, which was a commonly understood thing in Judaism, that you were to put your trust in God. He says, just as you can put your trust in God the Father, put that same amount of trust in me. Well, why is trust so important here? Well, when you think about trust, Andy Stanley, I recently listened to a sermon of his, and he puts it so eloquently when he says, really, when it comes down to it, trust is one of the main building blocks of relationship.